A Saudi Arabian reporter who went into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul earlier this month and hasn't been seen since is the focus of international attention. Some reports suggest that he was tortured and killed in the embassy while his fiancée waited outside. WPSU's Ann Danahy spoke with Reuters national security correspondent Jonathan Landay and former Reuters editor John Walcott about the situation. Walcott and Landay were part of the Knight Ridder team that covered the war in Iraq and are featured in a new film, Shock and Awe. They both knew the missing journalist, Jamal Khashoggi.
John Walcott and Jonathan Landay, thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
Our pleasure.
A recent and developing story that Reuters has been following is the case of the missing Saudi reporter Jamal Khashoggi, who may have been killed in the Saudi consulate. There's news reports coming out today from Turkey saying that this is, in fact, what's happening. How are you going about covering that, Jonathan?
So I need to say up front that Jamal is a friend of mine. And I know members of his family as well. So I need to divorce myself from that part. But nevertheless, it gives me the ability to, it informs my reporting. I'm able to talk to members of his family. You know, it was a shock that I think took everyone who not only knows Jamal, but people who know journalists to say, why would this happen? Jamal was a critic, but a constructive critic of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman, and his so-called reforms, which are highly controlled and are only reforms as long as the Crown Prince, who's known as MBS, allows them to be. And Jamal was writing about this, but in no way was Jamal a threat. Except in one aspect, and that is that Jamal was part of the system. He was part of the Saudi establishment. He had been a editor of newspapers in Saudi Arabia, which of course means that you work at the pleasure and the behest of the monarchy. But he was also an advisor to the royal court, and in particular the former minister of intelligence. And if what the Turks allege happened, and that is that he went into the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and was murdered and dismembered, then the only thing that makes sense is that that was to serve as a message to anyone else who was thinking of criticizing the Crown Prince and the quote-unquote reform program that he oversees. Nothing else makes sense.
So you knew him. Can you just tell us a little bit about what he was like?
Jamal, to me, was a very quiet man. I mean, we would regularly have dinners. I was part of this sort of small salon that was organized by a mutual friend to talk about Middle East issues. He would never get excited or exercised. He was very measured in the way he spoke about what was going on in the Middle East and in his country. But he also, I think, was very concerned about the future of Saudi Arabia, because what he really believed was that unless MBS opened up these reforms to criticism and to changes and to, course corrections and involved a much broader spectrum of Saudi society in this, that it was that not only were the reforms doomed, but that Saudi Arabia was on a glide path to real trouble.
John Walcott, this is a question for you as a journalist or editor. What was your response when President Trump tweeted that he had spoken with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia and the prince denied involvement and it had a sort of, well, there you have it quality to it?
Well, there are a couple of things that are important here. First of all is that none of the official stories that have emerged so far make any sense. Rogue killers inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. I have serious doubts about the idea that it was a rendition, an attempt to bring him back that went wrong. You don't send 15 people on two airplanes to do a rendition from a consulate.
Right, so, there's reports of people coming from Saudi Arabia and bringing suitcases with them into the consulate.
Yeah, I mean, the tradecraft here, as it's called in the intelligence business, was terrible. But it shows a kind of overconfidence on the part of Mohammed bin Salman that he could get away with anything, even, you know, outside the borders of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. We run up against two things. One is the readiness of President Trump to believe anything any other head of government tells him, whether it's Xi Jinping, whether he's in love with Kim Jong-un, or what the King of Saudi Arabia tells him.
Or Vladimir Putin.
You know, he seems ready to accept that at face value. We're not. That's not our job. And the second thing is that it shines a light, as John suggested, into the real nature of Mohammed bin Salman and his reforms and what his real ambitions are and what he's willing to do to get where he wants to go. And John alluded to the question, Jamal, whom I knew not as well as Jonathan, but was a constructive and I would say moderate critic of the regime. He had his roots in the Muslim Brotherhood, and I think the message probably that MBS was sending was, if I can do this to him, I can do it to anybody.
Jonathan Landay and John Walcott, thank you very much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Our pleasure.
Nice to be here.